Go Birds.
Go Birds.
Episode 2, Cheap Seats and Cheese Steaks. I am Jay Sensi. I'm joined by Tyler Kelby. And, man, here we are again.
I know. It's awesome.
Let's go.
Some pretty good response from the first one. People dig it. And, yeah, I guess we're going to be here talking shit for the next 20-some weeks.
Yeah, I mean, whether you like it or not, or whether you watch or not, we're gonna be here.
That's true.
Talking shit. Let's start preseason, game one?
Yeah, let's. What was your takeaway from preseason?
Yeah, I think we saw quite a bit in preseason game one. Tanner McKee is obviously a stud. Backup quarterback spot is solid. It's always great to have a good backup QB. He's probably also really good trade capital at some point. I don't know if we move him, if we got a team that reaches out looking for a quarterback or somebody goes down, of how we would move him at this point. But obviously the kid can play. I like his style. He's calm in the pocket. I think if I could say one concern thus far is, and you alluded to it in the first episode, cornerback two. I think we're a little weak there. I mean, I get that we were going up against Ja'Marr Chase, but I think we saw some exposure there that we got to get cleaned up.
What do you think? Vic Fangio said something interesting, though, about that cornerback two positioning. He said that in the first Bengals last year when we played them, they didn't run any cover zero. So he said he put them specifically in some difficult situations to see how they would play that. He goes, obviously, if we were playing a regular season game that mattered, we would not run cover zero versus Joe Burrow and that receiving core. So that's a good takeaway. But, yeah, it was concerning. I thought that was the most glaring. Tanner McKee, 20-25, 250 yards, 2 touchdowns. Darius Cooper, that was a big surprise. I thought he flashed. He played extremely well. Anaya Smith as the punt returner, I thought that's a huge bonus because as much as you love, as much as I love and you love Cooper DeJean, you don't want your key defensive player returning punts for a multitude of bad reasons. Mm-hmm. So that's good. If we can get some value out of Anaya Smith in that regard, that'd be awesome. My biggest takeaway defensively, though, was Jahad Campbell. Limited snaps, but man, he's just played all over the place. He's sideline to sidelines, ton of energy, athletic as fuck. I love it.
We don't even know if he's 100%, right?
I
mean, they're keeping it under wraps, but kids sure look good.
Yeah.
How about running back depth, though? The running backs were going off.
Yeah. Will Shipley, I can't wait to see what he can do in a game that matters. That's a big one. Powell, the third, fourth stringer, he played well late in the game. I mean, it's tough to tell, too, because of, you know, you have the backups playing and whatnot. But we did get a good look at some depth, and that's going to be huge because, Dylan?
Yeah.
He looked good, too.
Beast.
I forgot about him. He looked good. Yeah, I mean, that's going to be huge because, you know, as much as I'm a fan of run Saquon Barkley till he dies, if we could if we could have some times where we can spell him, because I felt last year, whenever he was off the field, the threat of the run game with Gainwell just wasn't there.
For sure.
So to have that and not be able to miss a beat and keep the offense moving as normal would be really beneficial to us, Jalen Hurts and everybody along the way, and especially Saquon, if you know we want to save a little tread on his tires as the year goes on.
I think the last thing I would say about the preseason game is Tyler Steen looked pretty good, right?
Yeah.
I think that job is his at this point. What's his third year or fourth year?
This will be Steen? His third year.
Third year. I mean, you know, we got him to this point. I think the kid can play, you know, especially with, you know, some of the lingering injuries. You know, we're going to need that depth there too, but I think he can produce.
Yeah, that's huge. To be able to draft and develop defense and offensive line talent is something that I think the Eagles are very underrated with. I don't think people give them enough credit. I mean, yeah, I guess offensive line we do, But as far as defensively, I mean, as long as I can remember, we draft extremely well and develop good talent in that regard. So I'm pleased. And that's how you win games.
You know?
The front four on offense and defense, the front five on offense, that's how you win. And you have to be able to plug and play some guys for, you know, periods of time during injuries and rest. And I think that that's what we do an extremely good job at.
Yeah, I mean, I think we saw quite a bit in game one. It'll be interesting to see how they approach game two here against the Brownies. But I definitely want to see Jihad with a few more reps if Vic allows.
Yeah, love it. And hearing Vic say about putting them in tough spots is a little bit better hearing, because that's what you feel too. I mean, we weren't playing a bunch of stars on defense.
Right.
So it's hard to get a real good feel of how, you know, because scheme matters. And, you know, if you're running cover zero and man the whole time, and that's not what we pretty much run, we're kind of a cover four defense. So, you know, not having, you know, the starting linebackers, you know, Cooper DeJean out there, it's tough to exactly see how good that cornerback two position. I mean, cornerback one is locked up and in really good hands. And as long as he stays healthy, he's going to be a top 2-3 cornerback in this league for a long time with Kenyon Mitchell.
And honestly, that's a good segue into open practice. So we went to open practice yesterday, and Quinion got a lot of reps against Smitty, and guy held his own.
I don't know if the offense looked bad, but the defense looked good.
Defense looked great.
Yeah. Jahad Campbell, again, all over the place, making plays. I think Jeremiah Trotter Jr. is playing really well, too. Yep. But Jahad Campbell flashed. Like, he jumps off of the field, off of the film, off of the screen when you watch him play, of just how athletic and fast he plays and how aggressive he is. And it was good to see. Jalen Carter absolutely massacred. I think I saw a stat, he had 9 pressures in like 10 plays. It was pretty crazy.
That guy should not be allowed to play football, but man, am I happy he's on our team. Man, oh man.
For sure.
What a freak. What a freak. But all in all, yesterday was a good day. Started our day with some beautiful, beautiful cheesesteaks.
Mm.
Shout out to Skinny Joey's. First time there. We had heard some hype. They didn't disappoint. Where would you rank them?
I honestly, like I said, they're comparable to the Angelo's. I thought with the cedar rolls, the bread, I feel like they're like slightly below. I think Angelo's might be a little bit more meat and stuff like that, but I have to say, man, as far as quality goes, it was a delicious cheesesteak. That's one of my favorite, and it's so close to the stadium on South Broad Street. You know, if you guys are out there, give it a go, man. It was delicious.
That's a plus. And they're open kind of late, too, right? So you can get one before the game. You can go to the game, get one after the game.
I still ate the one that Christian left over.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like 6 hours sitting in the car, and it still tasted good.
It doesn't matter at that point.
No.
Yes. But shout out to Skinny Joey's. Check them out. They're, what, 2 blocks from the stadium?
Yeah.
South Broad Street. Stadium.
Yep.
No brainer. All right. What do we talk about the practice here? What'd you see in practice that you liked other than defense basically dominating?
I mean, I saw, besides even just the team on the field, how fucking awesome this fan base is.
Oh, yeah.
Where you had close to 60,000 fucking people there for a padded practice.
Practice?
We're talking about practice? Yeah, practice. And it was awesome. It was a beautiful day, warm, sunny, not a cloud in the sky. Just, we're back, baby. Football is back.
Speaking of practice, though, you know what yesterday was?
What?
We didn't talk about this. Yesterday was the 20-year anniversary of T.O. doing his workout in his driveway when he got bounced out of practice by Andy.
Damn.
20 years.
Damn. Well, we're in a lot better position now than we were at that day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah.
That hurt. I was a big T.O. fan. I mean, I still am. I think he's a super talented player. But, man, that sucked that we just couldn't see how that would play out in the end with him, man. It just... That's a shame.
One or two more years.
Yeah, just a couple more games, man. We could have seen what we got with that.
Missed opportunity.
But also in open practice, Landon Dickerson carted off.
Yeah, Landon Dickerson went down. Didn't look pretty. Couldn't put a whole lot of weight on that leg. I don't know. Was it the same leg he was, same knee he was having problems with at the end of the year?
I think so. I think they said he was having trouble. He was non-practiced like the day or two before because of the same thing. I guess what Schefter said reported was a meniscus issue. So it's not a tear.
He dodged the bullet.
Yeah. And I guess he's had two ACL tears already. So it's not the ACL, but MCL, they said slight procedure, clean some stuff up, maybe some scar tissue, some micro tears. Hopefully they can get everything going. I mean, Matt Pryor, you're up, you know, they're probably going to actually, because of this, I think they're putting Pryor at right guard and have to kick Steen over to left guard, which, you know, that's the NFL though. You know, you have to, depth is, it's not who's the best team. It's who's the healthiest team. You know, we were lucky last year with that.
We did. We lucked out. But, I mean, this is a big bullet dodge. I mean, they're saying there's chances he could be ready for the opener. I don't think they push him that far. But, I mean, the way it looked yesterday, I think everybody was thinking the season was done.
Yeah. I'm never going to call it the season ever. We're all fighting to the end. especially with, you know, the offensive line position. Because, like I said, I think they – draft extremely well. I think they develop talent. I mean, if Jordan Mailata is not a testament to that.
Oh, God, yeah.
As a guy who's never played football in his life, basically, to being one of the best left tackles in all of football, one of the toughest positions to play, and they've coached him up into a freak of nature, I think we'll be able to plug and play and make things work. Even last year, I felt like we were shuffling around. Mailata missed a bunch of weeks because of the hamstring. Mekhi Becton seemed to get banged up every
team.
But I seen Mekhi Becton seemed to get banged up every other week.
Yeah.
You know, nothing significant, but he missed, you know, quarters at a time. I think even in the Super Bowl, he got injured for a minute there.
And came back in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Jeff Stoutland, man. The guy just, I don't know what, he's got some kind of magic on that O-line, but he turns guys into stars.
Yeah, and that's something that's completely underrated. I think, you know, the layman who watches the games, they don't understand how important, you know, coaching is, especially at the NFL level. I think coaching goes so far. And, you know, we have a great staff. The only thing, you know, with that, talking about coaching, I mean, we're in another year, another new offensive coordinator for Jalen Hurts in this offense. Yesterday, I don't know how much they were showing. They looked a little out of sync, but I would assume that they're dumbing it down a lot. They weren't running their stuff. Their fastballs weren't, you know, they weren't showing all the tricks and trades. What I did notice, though, they ran a lot from under center, which was different from last year.
I mean, I thought the play calling in the preseason game was fair. I don't know that I've seen enough to say it was good, bad, or indifferent, but we moved the ball there, but I agree. I think they reeled it back at the practice. You can't show too much this early.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's tough to tell, but, you know.
We're not ready to fire him yet.
No. PTSD, though, from Brian Johnson. You know, I mean, that you go from a Super Bowl loss and you think you're – I mean, we still started the year 11-1, 10-1. But, man, that offense was completely different from the year before, and I'm just hoping that Petullo can kind of just keep the ship right and add some of his wrinkles and things that he's got working on and keep Jalen. That's something, too. We talk about, you know, the haters of Jalen Hurts, man. The guy's had, you know, a different offensive coordinator every single season. That's something that if you're just a layman watching the game, you're just a casual – you don't understand how important that is to be able to learn an NFL offense
that quickly.
Yeah.
And be able to execute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At a high level.
Yeah. And he just does it. He just does it. I mean, you know, I think this is what I really love about Jalen Hurts is that I don't think we've had a quarterback with his mindset before. I mean, we've had a lot of talented quarterbacks. We've had Michael Vick. We've had Donovan McNabb. Carson Wentz was incredibly talented. And athletic. But I think the mindset is what makes me the most excited about the current state of the Philadelphia Eagles. Is you've got a guy that above all has a desire to do nothing but win. And I think what you see is it bleeds into the rest of the team, right? Everybody has bought into this. I mean, you take a guy like A.J. Brown could have very well been a me first guy, right? He had all the makings of a me guy and not a team guy, and he's bought in. Everybody is saying the same thing. They put it on the Super Bowl ring, right? You can't be great without the greatness of others. And they all have bought into this philosophy. And I think that's something that, as a Philadelphia Eagles fan, I don't know that we've had a guy like that leading the team before. I mean, we had good talents, but, you know, and this is a take that I know you and I, we agree on a lot of things. We do not agree on Donovan McNabb. He was not that guy. He was not going to do whatever it took to win. And Jalen Hurts does.
Yes. No, I can say that, but I have to also, you know, with the whole why Jalen Hurts in the media is not considered a top five, top two, top three quarterback is because he's got too much help, right?
Yeah.
Where flip side of Donovan McNabb, the guy had very little help in the offensive side of the ball. Defensively, we were great. Yep. But, I mean, when you're throwing the ball to Todd Pinkston and still going to James Trash, yeah. I mean, he was literally thrown to garbage cans with arms for a lot of those years. No disrespect to, you know, some of those guys were good players, but you saw how the jump in progression for him when we got T.O. I mean, we went from beating teams to blowing teams out.
Yeah.
So, I guess if you were going to say one thing about Donovan that was not the sharpest was sometimes his attitude was a little shitty.
Yeah, and I just think, you know, that's to me what stands out with Jalen is just the will to win.
Yeah, I love it. I love him. I love him. I think the, you know, believe it or not, I was watching the draft with a couple people. It was COVID time, and everyone's talking about Joe Burrow. I mean, yeah, Joe Burrow, great Heisman Trophy winner, national champion, and a couple other players. And I just said off the top of my head, I was like, I think Jalen Hurts goes to a team, and he's probably going to get drafted late, and he's going to go to a good established team. Yeah. And he's going to he might have the most success out of all of them. You know, lo and behold, the Eagles drafted him. I was like, what the fuck are we doing? We got Carson Wentz. Speaking of mentally weak, probably.
You know, I wasn't going to say it, but yeah.
Carson Wentz probably just folded. Yeah, he mentally. He could not handle Philadelphia. And that's a big thing about being the quarterback. And that's why, you know, I got to give credit a little bit to Donovan, because to play in Philly also is very tough, man. They want to fire you. They want to cut you. They want to trade you as soon as you have a bad game. And it's not easy. And Jalen is cut for that. But going back to Jalen in college, I mean, for a guy to get benched at halftime of the national title game and to come back in this day and age where guys are transferring every other year, for him to come back and still stick it out and compete for a starting position and then not get the starting position, get beat out by Tua that second year and still stick around and help, and Tua end up getting injured and he came back and helped them win the SEC championship and, you know, push towards a national title that year, and then he transferred to Oklahoma. But, you know, he could have sulked, made a bunch of narratives about, you know, the coach don't like me and easy this isn't fair. Do. Yeah, and they all do. A lot of these players do. Yeah. It's the accountability for themselves, you know. And even in, you know, as far as the last Super Bowl loss, like he could have blamed a bunch of other players, a bunch of other coaches, a bunch of other teams coming into the year after where the offense completely fell apart. The defense was just putrid. Yeah. One of the worst defenses I've ever seen in Eagles uniform. And for him to just keep plugging away and then come back this year and take a backseat to Saquon Barkley, like you said, it was a team first effort. I mean, he didn't even throw for 3,000 yards. And there's just not many quarterbacks. That's something that people don't talk about. There's not many quarterbacks who are willing to do that.
Right.
Where they're willing to sacrifice their statistical numbers. And I feel like that's what made Tom Brady so great. Tom Brady, I think one of his most impressive feats was losing to us in 2017, mm-hmm. throwing for the most yards, one of the best statistical games by a quarterback in Super Bowl history, to follow that up by the following year to go beat the Rams in one of the lowest scoring games in Super Bowl history. I think it was the lowest scoring game in Super Bowl history. So he went from one of the highest scoring games in Super Bowl history to one of the lowest. And for him to stick to the game plan, run the ball, not do too much, don't make mistakes. And I think Jalen has a little bit of that in him, and you just can't put that on a stat sheet.
No, and I think that gives us an incredible window here where we can be a major contender for at least the next handful of seasons.
Yeah.
We stay healthy, God willing.
Healthy. Healthy is always a big part. Yeah. And, okay, so going with that, I guess it's not an unpopular opinion that you don't like Donovan McNabb. A lot of Eagles fans don't. But I want to say, besides McNabb, like, do you have like a popular player that you, or maybe a player that doesn't get enough credit that you want to give a shout out to that you think of, or maybe a player who is a little bit people like a little too much? I have my
current player, or
no, just all over, time. Yeah, all time. Like, you know,
I mean. He got ample credit, and he's made quite a career even in the NFL after. But I got to go with my favorite player of all time, Troy Vincent. Oh, yeah. I feel like he was sometimes overshadowed because Dawkins was there, right? And everybody loved Doc, and I love Doc too. Don't get me wrong, but I think Troy often took a back seat, and he was just always my guy. In fact, the helmet next to me is signed by Troy. I was a kid at training camp back at Lehigh, and I had no ticket for autographs, but I had that helmet with me, and he saw me standing there at the fence and motioned to an assistant to come over and get the helmet and sign it, and it's one of my prized possessions. So, you know, I would say Troy Vincent.
Love it. That's a good one. That is a good one.
What do you got?
My underrated, Hugh Douglas. I love Hugh Douglas.
Ooh, yeah.
Everybody, I think he's a fan favorite.
Yes.
But I have to say, I have a hot take, and a lot of people get mad at me when I say this. My least favorite, and it just happened very suddenly after that last year where we collapsed, Jason Kelce. I'm so happy he left and we won a fucking Super Bowl without him. Because he made it all, like, it became the fucking Travis Kelce, Jason Kelce show.
Yep.
And I did not like how the performance that last month of the season, leading into that playoff game, and then the following week, he's acting like a drunken fucking asshole, you know, at his brother's game.
Yep.
I just thought it was just weird. I thought, I you know, like, to see Fletcher Cox walk off that field for the last time.
Yep.
To see Brandon Graham possibly walk off the field for the last time. He came back. But there were a lot of guys where you just, like, the end of an era, and him to make it about him and jumping on his brother's dick, you know, post his career. And like I said, like, I didn't know Travis Kelce was even his brother in 2017.
Right.
I didn't see Travis Kelce acting a fool at our Super Bowl.
True.
So I just didn't like that, and I felt he was just a little bit clownish after that loss, and that left a bad taste in my mouth. I still love him, a great player, Hall of Famer and all that, but I love that you know, we did not miss him.
I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but what disappoints you the most is a player of his caliber to go out with that complete total collapse at the end of that season. You would probably just expect him to have taken it a little harder, no?
Yeah, that's right? What I felt. Yeah,
instead, like, of just being out partying 7 days later.
Yeah, yeah, I didn't like it.
Yeah,
and to make it, and also I just felt like, you know, it was his brother's time. Like, let his brother.
That's fair.
Like, yeah. it was his run to the Super Bowl. Like, for him to be acting like a drunken fool and making a spectacle of the whole thing, and that was like became like a thing. It, you know, it was, and then. You know, every commercial known to man he's in. I mean, I get that. You make your money. But, and I thought it was a kind of a shot, too, that he didn't come back and push one more year. That was another thing, too, where he retired, where I thought, you know, at that time we needed him.
Yep.
You know, we needed him at center. Cam Jurgens was starting guard, had to kick over and take over those responsibilities. And I just thought like that was a poor leadership mentality for him. You know, I thought that, you know, and the fact that we end up winning the Super Bowl without him, I'm glad we didn't miss him.
100%. I don't think that's that unpopular of a take. I think most people just don't want to say it out loud.
It got weird after like they fucking made him like the sexiest man alive type.
Yeah,
bold. Like,
come on.
Don't lie to me. He's not a fucking classically handsome man. You know, like the fuck. But it got weird. It just got weird after a while. I just thought, you know, for so long he was just the quiet leader and emotional leader of this team. And then he became like, you know, in front of the cameras all the time. And it was all about, you know, Jason Kelce, Travis Kelce. I don't know. I thought it got weird.
It became a circus.
Yeah. And especially after the way that season rolled out and where we just, it was the most heartless effort I've ever seen from an Eagles team in that Tampa Bay game. Like, Jalen Hurts did not go and party after that. I don't think he had a, I probably didn't have a party until after the Super Bowl.
100%.
So.
And that's the difference.
That's the difference.
Right? That's that mindset that I'm just so impressed with, that somebody that's such a young age, was he 26?
27, yeah.
I mean, to just approach anything like that. And that's a difference maker. I mean, you know, maybe it was a blessing. Kelce called the quits when he did.
Wow. Champs. Champs, baby.
Let's go.
So, yeah.
Go Birds, dickhead.
Go Birds, dickhead. That was a great time yesterday. We had a lot of good times.
We got to film more content.
Yeah.
At events.
Yeah, that was.
There were some missed opportunities that I think could have been enjoyed by a lot of people, I think.
Yeah. No, we had a blasty blast. I loved it. I loved I do miss Lehigh though.
Lehigh was a great training camp. I mean, shameless plug that it's so close too.
Yeah. Right?
45 minutes from us. I think it's also worth disclosing that, you know, we don't live in Philadelphia. Like we're 2 hours up the turnpike. Yeah. We're up in the Scranton area.
Scranton.
Just outside of Dunmore, home of Vic Fangio. Shout out to Dunmore Vic.
Dunmore Vic, baby.
But I miss Lehigh. Lehigh was very open. Like anybody could go. You can get close to the players. What year did they stop going to Lehigh?
I believe they stopped. It was the year that Andy Reid's son passed away.
Oh, yes. Yep. So that had to be early 2000s, no?
2010?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm way off.
09?
All right.
Maybe 09. Andy Reid's last year, which I think we went to the NFC Championship in 09 and lost. And then he came back the following year in 2010.
Yep.
And we didn't do too well there. The Fire Andy chants were all around. And then 2011, 2012 was the Chip Kelly era. You know what?
You want to talk about Chip?
My honorable mention. My honorable mention for the least respected and understood and loved piece of Eagles history, Chip Kelly. I think that, you know, I'm glad it went the way it went, but to start his career 2 years in a row, 10-6, and if he kept LeSean McCoy, if he kept Michael Vick, if he kept Deshaun Jackson, the only thing I wish he got some sort of trade value from, he cut him, which is absurd. But if he kept those players, you know, we would have been in mediocrity. We would have been 8-8, you know, middle of the pack. But the fact that he blew that team completely up allowed us to have to pivot so hard to get Carson Wentz in the end. Like, we would have never gotten a Carson Wentz with all the draft capital and trades that we ended up getting after he totally blew that team up. So maybe not, I'm not saying he's a great part of Eagles history, but he's an extremely important part of Eagles history. To me, there's like the Donovan McNabb draft, because if we took Ricky Williams, God knows how that could have ended up.
Yep.
You know, we'd be the Browns right now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Donovan McNabb was not a popular draft pick, and maybe that's why I have such a soft spot for him, is because pre him, it was bad, bad, bad quarterback play, no playoff berths.
Yep.
No competition, no chance of a Super Bowl. And then after him, he started this era of the Eagles being top contender every year. So I have to throw that out there. I mean, Andy Reid obviously plays a huge part in that. But I thought Donovan McNabb, it was like, we're a shit team. And then Don McNabb showed up, sat his first year, Doug Peterson, our quarterback. I hated Doug Peterson. I'm like, Doug fucking Peterson, put Don McNabb in. And then years later, he's our hero. Is. But, yeah, McNabb started our prestige and gave me, you know, something to cheer about. And, I wish he won. I thought I never wanted a player to win a Super Bowl as bad as I thought Donovan McNabb. But after the last Chiefs lost, I never wanted to see a guy win a Super Bowl so fucking bad than Jalen Hurts.
100%. Too many balls in the dirt, Donnie.
Yeah, oh, man. Worms need balls too.
For fuck's sake. For fuck's sake.
Every game he started out with a fucking dirt ball. Like, you just ripped him.
How?
He was just amped up. They say he was just amped up. He just gets amped. No. And he just, but I have to say, he was good. But when he was off, he was so off that, like, guys would cut routes on him and he would launch it 10 yards over their head. So it was no interception. If he was more accurate, he probably would have more interceptions in his career.
For Christ's sake. We could do an entire episode on the McNabb dispute between us.
I know. Yeah. I just time. Also to the Syracuse thing, Gowell and Corey Bowen from Riverside was his center. So I ended up watching him a lot in college. Just because through proxy and, you know, hearing about a guy wearing the Corey Bowen jersey every chance he got. So I ended up watching a lot of Donovan McNabb. So I wasn't happy. I wanted Ricky Williams. As a kid, I was like, hey, Ricky Williams is the best.
Well, yeah, I think everybody wanted him.
Yeah. But listen, I'm glad we didn't get
that was a blessing.
Achilles Smith. You know, the Bengals took Achilles Smith ahead. That did not work out. Or maybe not. They took him to pick after. I think Tim Couch went one. McNabb went two.
Yes. So, yep.
But yeah.
It all worked out. It took us a while, but it all worked out.
Oh, it all worked out. Two, three years later. But but that's also, you know, why it's so great. And I try to instill even in my son how, like, I love players. I mean, I was a big Ray Lewis fan. I love watching him play. There's a lot of players I love to watch play. Even still, I'll watch some guys. But to be loyal to a team, because it feels good when you go through the hardships and then you come back and win. Where there's too many kids and they just jump on the bandwagon, you know, and then you're a Cowboys fan and you're 30 some years old and you haven't seen a real fucking team in your whole life because your dad made you a Cowboys fan in 1995. So, you know, which I mean, hats off to them if they're still Cowboy fans, but they did jump on the bandwagon, you know, because where the fuck are you Pennsylvania people with Cowboy shit? Get the fuck out of here.
Nobody's perfect. You know, nobody gets it all, man.
I mean,
nobody gets it all.
But it's weird though. It's like, I go, oh, you're a Cowboys fan? Yankees fan too? Yeah, I'm a Yankees fan. Oh, what's
Lakers?
Your Lakers? Oh, Lake. Yeah. Of course, the Lakers. Oh, a Duke basketball. Oh, saw that coming. Yeah.
Other than the Cowboys, probably happier. They win a lot.
They win
They're
a lot.
They're a bandwagoner, you know?
But you know, is it though? Because you just, you expect
it's all
it.
It's an investment.
Yeah. Like, I'm telling you, as terrible as it felt to lose three NFC championships in a row and a Super Bowl on top of that, to win in 2017, I've never felt that happy in my life.
Yeah, it makes it sweeter. Just wish we didn't have to wait quite that long for it. But
so sweet, though.
It was worth it.
Yeah. And with Doug Peterson.
Dougie.
Which was, like I said, he kind of sparked the era of me in my, like, at that time, that's when I was the most aware to be a real fan. Like, pre that, I mean, I love the Eagles. I watched the Eagles, but, you know, understanding the game and all the nuances, and I was still young, but I remember, like, McNabb being drafted. That was, like, me coming into my own, playing football as a kid still, and then, you know, being aware of it and being like, fuck Doug Peterson, and then for him to come by a couple years later and win me a Super Bowl, it was pretty sweet.
Unfuck Doug Peterson.
Unfuck him. Yeah.
Thank you, Dougie.
Yeah, shout out to him, man. Where is he at?
I don't know. I don't think he's coaching.
No. The Jaguars got rid of him. Damn.
Well, he's immortalized in that statue in front of the link.
Philly.
Let's go. So what's up next?
don't know.
Browns preseason.
Shedeur Sanders, which is crazy because you get Tanner McKee and you're like excited. You're like, oh, 25, like 20 to 25, 80%, 250 yards, two touchdowns. And then you get Shedeur Sanders who played pretty well. And now they're talking about him being the greatest thing that's ever happened.
He should retire his jersey.
Maybe, and that's part of why I like that we're doing this, because I just feel like everybody now, they're just like so, you know, hyperbolic, and it's just like everything is the greatest or worst thing that's ever fucking happened. Like, you know, it's just like sports media has just gotten so weird lately. Like, everybody's just looking for clickbait and, you know, hot takes and stuff like that. Like, it's just a weird, like, to me, sports are the most, you know, objective thing for the most part.
Right.
You know, like, you know, two people watch the game. I mean, there's if you understand game plan and nuance and scheme, you can have that debate. But the score's the fucking score.
Yep.
And then Skip Bayless came along. That's another thing, too, around that McNabb era with the Skip Bayless, where, you know, you watch that game and he's like, well, you know, his feelings and his feelings?
What the fuck out of here?
What are we talking about? Like, the score was 35-28. Like,
yep.
It's a wrap, dog. Yep. Like, that's it. Like, you could talk about he played well, he played bad, but to, like, put blame and all these weird narratives, it just became, and then they're still running with it. You know, the Stephen A. Smith, Skip Bayless is just, it's still being, you know, pushed in sports media, and it's just weird.
It's just, it's controversy. I mean, people tune into controversy.
Yeah. I mean, right. I just think, you know, when they sit down and they agree and disagree, or they disagree on everything, you know, and you can like see it in their faces. They don't really believe what the fuck they're saying, but Skip Bayless, I do believe he believes his shit. And if you want to just have a laugh and just a rage, go watch his fucking nonsense that he does now, 'cause he got fired, but he still does, like,
in his house,
in his own shit.
Nah.
And he's still grasping at straws. This whole Shedeur Sanders nonsense. It's just like, bro, give it up. You're 97 years old. You look like the fucking Crypt Keeper. The Cowboys blow, you know. The only thing you got right is that LeBron ain't Jordan. That's it.
Pack it in, Skip.
Pack it in. Pack it in. Fucking skeleton with fucking skin. He still makes me mad. It just still angers me.
How mad were you though with that he was up on Jalen Hurts?
Oh yeah, no. Oh, now he taking credit for him, like he fucking drafted him.
Yeah. I knew that was gonna boil your blood, man.
No, when he started like jumping on their dick for the Super Bowl, I was like, fuck.
He's like, I told you.
I was like,
I told you they were gonna win.
Yeah. The biggest Cowboys dick rider of all time told me how shitty the fucking Eagles were for 20 some years. Mm. All of a sudden, you know, like a fucking blind man can see that they were the best team in football. And you're going to act like your knowledge of the fucking game is what's carrying you over. He's a retard. And the guy never played a sport in his life. You can tell. And he gets all pissed off. He'll like shit on athletes. And when Jalen Rose brought up that he averaged like 1.3 points in his high school basketball career, and he's like, "Well, the coach didn't like me." And this, it's like, dickhead. That's what's going on.
It's because you sucked.
Yeah, but also that's the shit that's going on with these high paid athletes. Like, they're dealing with coaches and all that stuff, and you're just shitting on people for the sake of shitting on people. Yeah, fuck that guy. Jake Paul, set it up. Me versus Skip Bayless in your undercard. Next one.
Tell us how you really feel, Ty.
I'll fight that old fuck. And I'll wear a Jalen Hurts jersey to do it.
That's going to make a great short clip for this episode. Who do you dislike more, him or Nick Wright? Skip Bayless, Nick Wright.
I guess Skip Bayless only because he like started the wave. He's
been shit talking longer.
Yeah. Wright. Nick Wright's just he's a little weasel.
A clown.
Yeah, he's just a little weasel. He's like a Skip Bayless wannabe.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know. Yeah, but it is. It's weird when these guys like they're like 5'3" and they stand up on these soapbox and they're like, these athletes are fucking shit. And you're like, dude, you can't catch a fucking football. You can't throw a football. Like, these guys would fuck you, you know? And you couldn't stop them. And you're going to talk all the shit? Crazy. Crazy. Like, know your place in the world.
Sit down, Skip. And Nick.
And Nick. And but he's still here, and he's riding the Chiefs wave. So collapsing a lot quicker, which was crazy that Skip has got on the Tom Brady wave, which was mind-blowing to me. He was the diehard Cowboys fan, and he somehow pivoted to being the Tom Brady guy, which was like, you can't.
But it was kind of like a no-lose situation for him at that point.
Yeah.
Right? If Brady faltered, he could have said, I told you so.
Yeah.
And he probably wasn't going to falter, so Skip looks good.
But it was like, but towards the end, it was like they were debating him whenever Brady like failed. They were all like, ho, ho, ho. And like he took it personal. Like, you're not a Patriots fan, guy.
Right.
Like, right. I don't, like, I'm a diehard Ray Lewis fan, love Ray Lewis. But when he lost the game, like, I didn't cry. I don't feel bad. That's not my team. I don't give a fuck.
Yep.
You know, I love to see him succeed. I love Ray Lewis, you know, killing people on the field, You know, but like, I don't, it doesn't hurt my heart when he loses. Like, it's like, oh yeah, well, whatever. But Skip, like, he like tied his whole personality into Dallas Cowboys, which was a mistake. And then, but it's funny too, the Dallas Cowboys don't like him. Like he was a beat writer for them, and he wrote a book calling like Troy Aikman gay or something like that. It was like real weird.
Really?
Oh, dude, he was giving out all the dirt on the players and stuff while he was a beat writer, and they don't like him.
Love that.
Yeah, none of them like him. Like, he's not even like allowed to associate with the Cowboys really at this point. So like, you get zero inside information. So you're just talking shit for the last, you know, 30 years about a team that doesn't even give a fuck about you. So,
deserves it.
We've given him too much airtime. Fuck this guy.
Hey, Skip. Go Birds, dickhead.
Go Birds, dickhead. What else we got? Is that it? I think.
Yeah, I think we're good. I think this is good for episode 2. You know, we appreciate everybody for the views, for listening. We'll be back next week. We'll debrief the preseason Browns game. Pray that we don't have any more injuries. And go Birds.
Go Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly, on the road to victory. Eagles!